Very happy Saturday in Chicago. It is the greatest city on earth, or area, Patrick Doyle. You agree with that?
Yeah, we have family in from Ottawa, and they've been walking around for the last couple days, and they said it's the most livable, walkable city they've ever been, and they've been to a bunch of cities around the world.
Ottawa,
and
Canada? I don't know if you meant Ottawa,
sorry,
Illinois.
No.
Which Ottawa. We love Ottawa, Illinois. It is gorgeous
of
there.
Of course we do. No, they're Canadians.
They're Canadians?
Yeah, from Canada.
From Ottawa.
From Canada.
That's the capital of Ottawa.
It is. It's a beautiful city.
Never been to Ottawa.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's an old, sort of an old city.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. And it's east of Toronto, I assume?
It is.
It's more like in the Montreal area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I hear Montreal's gorgeous,
That's a beautiful city, too. Old Montreal is beautiful. But wait, this is Chicago.
Yeah,
we're talking
sorry.
About Chicago.
Yes,
yeah.
Way to center us back.
Yeah, right. It's gorgeous here this weekend.
It is. And I know it's hot. It's going to be a dry heat, though, until
Better
Monday.
Than freezing, John. It's coming.
And I
Don't
I
complain.
Agree.
Don't complain.
I'm not. And I walked around. I went to get Starbucks for myself and our fine engineer, Krista, earlier. And it was a little crowded, and sometimes I get cranky about that. Not the Starbucks, but just, like, moving through people. But I was like, you know what? Embrace it.
I agree.
We have all these great, and they're all like slowly looking up at the sky with their suitcases.
Right.
And you know, some days that bothers me when I'm trying to move around quickly. But today I was like, you know what? Just enjoy it.
No, just enjoy it.
People
they're
come to where we live. Yeah.
And we should enjoy. I understand.
And they're spending money here.
Yeah. For those who live here and work in the loop, I get it.
You get it.
Just be happy, John.
I am happy.
Okay,
I'm happy you're here. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's good to be here.
You've had a busy August, as have I, and here we are into September.
Yep.
And it's Labor Day weekend, and we've been talking to each of our guests so far about why, you know, Labor Day kind of is just another day, day off on the calendar for people. It doesn't carry maybe the emotional weight that maybe a Memorial Day does or a Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
The 4th of July has its own nationalistic sort of feel to it. I don't mean that in a mean way, I just mean we have pride in our country.
Sure.
But Labor Day kind of is like the end of the summer one, but maybe we should take a little bit more stock in Labor Day weekend and reevaluate where we are in our work world, how we feel about labor progress over the years. Like, it's an important day.
It's a really important day, and I really appreciate listening to your last couple of guests talk about a couple different aspects of that. You know, it's sort of a continuum, right? We go through periods of up and down in terms of hiring and layoffs, and with COVID, massive layoffs, massive hiring. Now I think things, if you look at the numbers, are more or less where they were pre-pandemic as far as what's going on.
Yeah, like adding 150,000 jobs
exactly.
a month instead of 400.
Right, that's right. That's right.
Falling down a bit.
But I think things are stabilizing, and that's what I think we see in our practice too.
Mm-hmm.
As many separation agreements as employment agreements. So that sort of reflects what's going on. But on a broader point, I think we've made tremendous progress in a lot of the laws that affect employment situations. I know you guys were talking about FMLA earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. Now, paid sick leave, that's absolutely a wave that's taking over this country state by state. And so we see a lot of positive movement in terms of making the workplace better for workers, I think.
Right. And, you know, Professor Leroy brought this up, that the Democratic Party seems to embrace unions more than the Republicans, but the Republican Party has done a lot of positive work in these sorts of avenues as well. And I think that there is, you know, I know there's this fight between people in unions and not in unions, but generally speaking, I think a lot of people just want safety for workers,
right.
Reasonable wages for folks, the 40-hour work week, 8 hours a day. There are some things that I imagine 80 to 90% of this country can get behind when it comes to labor.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And also time needed for your own mental and physical health for those of members of your family who have issues that you need to address.
Mm-hmm.
Those are super important issues. So I think we've done a pretty good job establishing a balance between what the company needs to get workers to be productive and make it profitable for them, but also protecting the workers and what they need for themselves. And I think in areas pertaining to mental health in particular, we've made great strides.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people come to me, have a lot of issues with their mental health and how it's affecting them and their job. Maybe it's the result of harassment or discrimination, or maybe it's not. And so I think the law's been pretty good at addressing and protecting those folks who have mental health issues. So we're moving in the right direction.
I'm not trying to sully this good feeling that we have.
Okay, go ahead, John.
I just wonder, you know, unemployment ticked up a little bit to 3.8%, but generally speaking, as long as we've been under 4% unemployment in 50 years, the less people are quitting, but there's still more job openings for people seeking jobs. It's still a very pro-worker environment. It may be easing a little bit. Do you feel at all concerned that the progress that has been made over the last few years will be gone the moment there's a recession? I don't know when it's coming, but it will come at some point, and the layoffs will happen, and then all the strides forward, since a lot of them were not codified into law, might be gone.
Not in terms of what I was referring to.
Okay.
I think those are here to stay.
Mental health.
Yeah, broadening. I think broadening of FMLA, ADA has been broadened recently. A lot of stuff that protects workers in terms of their health. I think we've made great strides.
And there has been codified. You're bringing up a good
it
point.
Has,
there has
and
been
that's
laws.
That's not going to change.
That's true.
And I think the interpretation of those laws is become more favorable to workers, and I think that's going to continue. So, to your point, though, listen, you know, it's up and down in terms of, like, you know, sometimes you go through waves of separations and layoffs, but then that tends to open up other areas of, you know, businesses and markets where those folks might be able to go. So I think it's a little more fluid than, you know, just up and down and people losing their jobs and I can't find another. I think what we see is it's a little more fluid than that.
Okay, so things that have been codified, like local, because it hasn't changed federally, yep. Local laws about the minimum wage obviously mm-hmm. now are codified. No one's going to revert those backwards. The sick time that guarantees yes. now here in Illinois, that's not going anywhere.
Yes.
That's codified. No
yes.
party is going to stick their neck out and say, you know, what we should do is take away your rights to sick time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I guess what I'm asking is maybe the more pliable stuff, like the flexibility of a hybrid work schedule, or I want to work from home more, and your boss kind of has to say, sure, I guess so, because they don't want to fire you and hire someone else. Are some of those more pliable gains of work-life balance perhaps a little bit more subject to change?
I think the answer is probably yes, because of what you alluded to, which is in a tightening labor market, if companies want you to come in the office and you say no, they'll have a better chance of finding somebody else who will come in the office.
Right.
I think on those points, I think you're right. But I think we've made such significant strides on that issue in terms of work from home that there's much more give and take now than there ever used to be. I think it started out with, nope, everyone's coming into the office, COVID, everyone works remotely. Now there's more give and take as companies try to get folks back. But, you know, they're trying to, I think schedules have become more flexible than they ever were before.
All right, well, then I got an analogy for
you. Okay, go ahead.
Or a way to picture this, to
sure.
kind of sum it up. Let's picture the labor force as a glove.
Okay.
And let's say that your hand's getting bigger, you've stretched out the glove a little bit more. Mm. There's times that it can get a little smaller, but in generally speaking, once you expand that glove, once you add more rights, once you get more flexibility, there can be some retreat, but generally speaking,
the glove's going to stay bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Good
or
job.
No? Is that terrible?
Not really, no. But I see what you're saying. You're trying. I appreciate the effort. I don't really like that at all. But I really, John, I like talking to you anyway.
So bad. I don't know why I just pictured a glove getting bigger. But there we go. Okay. That's a good time to take a
break.
Yeah,
it really is.
Oh, get us your,
compose yourself, John.
Yeah, I need to come up with something better.
Yeah.
Get your questions in. 312-981-7200. Get your favorite jobs in. 312 says, I was a cordboard switchboard work was the best. 1970s General Telephone in Central Illinois.
Wow.
The 414, I sold shoes at Gimbel's for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah.
What's Gimbel's?
That was a department store.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm showing my age.
So am I, apparently.
219. Yeah. Just in opposite directions. 219.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay.
And working at an animal shelter in Munster, Indiana. Oh, what a rewarding job that was.
That sounds
was.
Great.
312-981-7200. Your favorite job ever. Or if you were like forced to go to work for a day, which I guess we most of us are. But let's say you really are forced and you had to pick which one you're going to today. Which job are you going to? Let's throw pay out the window. Let's throw age out the window.
And let's not talk about gloves. Let's just focus
no
on
no gloves.
That.
Exactly.
That.
Tell us that.
Right. Right.
And get your questions
Sounds
in.
Good.
Are you starting a new job? Have you left a job recently? Or are you at work and something squirrely is happening? I know a lot of our brains go to like sexual harassment. That's a good one. Age discrimination. Are you over the age of 40? Maybe a couple of you are, and you're not getting the raises that the younger workers are getting. You're not getting treated fairly. Call in. Patrick can kind of walk through some questions and try and figure out if there's a legal angle to it. We'll do that after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. And Patrick Dolan joining me on Let's Get Legal. This is going to be your show for any questions about what's happening at work. 222 on WGN. I got a couple of texts to get to.
Okay.
First of all, 815 says, I just started a part-time retail job at 74. When I hear that normally, I think, uh-oh, maybe they really aren't able to make ends meet.
Or,
but then the second sentence is, tried retirement.
Exactly.
Meh.
That's what I thought initially.
Good for them.
Yeah. Good for them that was right.
Part-time
retail? You get to talk to the people.
That's what I'm saying.
Know?
If that's your thing, which I can picture myself.
Sure.
When I'm said and done with all this radio, TV, Blackhawks, all that stuff, which hopefully is decades away, I think I want to be a bartender.
That's a really good job. I can see you in.
Yeah. I did it once for like an event, which I get is way different because it was over at 9 o'clock. I wasn't dealing with people at 2 in the morning. And it was like one mixed drink I just had to like pour for them. I'm sure it's a lot worse than I'm making it out to be.
Probably.
Bartenders, let me know. But I think that'd be fun. I think I'd be a good bartender.
I think you'd be a great bartender.
Thank you. I'm not good at analogies. The 847 is helping me out, though. 847 says, hi, John. I think I understand where you were going with the glove analogy. Winky face emoji. So that's very kind of you to say. I'll offer some alternatives.
Okay.
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, once those rights have been kind of given out, you're not going to be able to stuff them all back in the tube.
That.
The horse has left the barn.
A little better.
The train has left the station. Yeah, I get those. I guess what I'm saying is that there's still some elasticity.
I know what you're
saying. There's some elasticity.
Well, I think the point is, even when we go through a phase where rights under specific laws are expanded, that even when certain things change, it stays expanded.
Yes.
You know, that's what you're saying.
Yes. There may be some retreat, but it's not.
But it's not. Right.
The glove is bigger.
I get it, OJ. I get it.
It's turning into a Hochberg show. Let's go to Jim. Jim on WGN. Good afternoon, Jim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. What do you got for Patrick?
Well, I got sexually harassed by a lady, which I didn't figure was... I kind of laughed it off. A couple guys that knew about it laughed it off, you know? And it got to the point where it went from workplace sexual harassment to like stalking.
Whoa. Okay.
Okay.
And first of all, Jim, I want to point out, I think a lot of guys would have the same reaction you are, where you're trying to laugh it off, but it's serious, right? Like, I think that it's not the reversal that, or it's not the role that we traditionally play in our head, but it's as serious that way as it is from male to female too, right, Patrick?
For sure. Absolutely. I've had a lot of male. I'm sorry, Jim. I don't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. But anyway, it got noticed by someone else in the department, and then they talked to HR, and then HR called me in and asked what was going on, and I said, and I told them, you know, and they said, and I actually almost got in trouble because I didn't report it fast enough.
Huh. Interesting. Are you in a job where it's mandated reporting of that sort of stuff, Jim, or is that probably not?
Tell you the truth, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to take the harassment classes every year.
Well, of course.
I didn't know if it was mandatory. And like I said, it did. She had no control over my position, my employment, nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, so did
anything punitive end up happening to you, Jim, or no?
No, I was okay. And then I was talking to the HR lady, you know, and I think that, because they asked me, you know, did you see her? I said, no, dude, I'm married, you know?
Right, right.
And my wife's sister actually works there.
Oh, okay.
So, I didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I said, you know what, just talk to her. Tell her just to leave me alone. And I'm not going to do anything about it.
Right.
You know? Just talk to her, tell her to leave me alone, tell her to stop driving by my house and stuff.
And did it stop?
Yeah, they talked to her and it stopped, you know.
Well, it seems like it worked out pretty well, Jim, or is there a follow-up or a question you got?
No, it worked out pretty good and everything, but, you know, a couple guys I work with, you should have sued, you could have made some taxes, you know. I don't want to go through all that. I want to see this lady lose her job.
Right. Even if she's in the wrong, you're not out to be vengeful. Patrick, kind of your reaction to some of the things that Jim's talking about.
Yeah, let me just make some general observations there. So first of all, the company probably has a policy, and it's a really good idea anyway, to complain to typically HR. And you should also, even if it's your boss, and I understand this can be a difficult situation, or your colleague, you should tell them that you want that behavior to stop. Okay, so that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I've talked to a lot of males who have been harassed by females or other males.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't find that particularly unusual in my practice. It happens all the time. But, you know, it's interesting because the reaction of males or females tends to be really different
mm-hmm.
to that sort of behavior, which is not particularly surprising. But it's still illegal.
Yeah.
If you're getting sexually harassed, it's still illegal. Stalking is like a whole different issue, which definitely happens, but that's a different issue.
Jim's friend saying you could have sued and got a bunch of money. That's not quite how that works.
You know,
I mean, if he'd gotten fired or something, maybe.
Well, I mean, you could sue the company for sexual harassment under federal or state law. You could. I don't. You know what, though? If actions were taken to stop it after he complained, that pretty much cuts off his damages.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And I think the goal typically is to get the behavior to stop and not have it affect this person's, you know, not having it's like Jim's job or whoever else, right? They don't not to affect their pay, responsibilities, etc.
All right. So. Thank you very much for the call, Jim. I appreciate it. Okay. 708 has got a good one.
Okay.
This is kind of like you and Theriault Booth's world.
Okay.
So let's get to
I'll
the
do
text.
My part.
Yes. We may have to tackle it more on the other side of the news, but at least let's get the question out there. I was on disability leave for a shoulder complete replacement. Okay? Disability leave. I was released to work on July 31st of this year. So like that's when they were going to be released to go back.
Got it.
I was let go on June 27th, so over a month before that date. I was told I was past my FMLA leave.
Mm-hmm.
Why was I released? Do you need this texter to call in? Do you have some follow up questions or you got an answer for me?
No, I mean, it's sort of a long answer if we don't have time, but you know, you want to go to the news or should I just. Okay, remember.
No, let's hold it. You're
okay,
all right.
I'll hold it. I
was going to have you do it in 10 seconds. That's not enough
that's
time.
That's tough.
All right,
John,
exactly.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so Patrick Dolan's going to answer your question 708 after
sure.
the news. And all of your questions, too. 312-981-7200 for Patrick Dolan. If you've enjoyed hearing him, and I certainly love talking to
Thanks,
him,
John.
You can call him. You're welcome. 312-332-7800.
Bingo. That is correct.
That's Conti and Dolan. Yes, Conti of Karen Conti and Patrick Dolan. All right, we're going to answer the FMLA question. We're going to do a lot more after the news on WGN. Love WGN News. Keep you posted on everything. You don't ever have to change the channel. If something's breaking in Chicago, we're going to give it to you. The newsroom will. They're diligently looking at everything, and then we'll break it on down for you during the shows. That's what we do here, Patrick Dolan.
I know.
Through and through.
Really good at it.
We are really good at it.
Yeah.
And the other hosts are better.
Because I'm standing next to you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, if something's happening in Chicago, you want to be listening to Bob Surratt, John Williams, or Lisa Dent. Trust me on that one. And John Landiger in the evenings, too. Because they're going to put it in context for you. That's what I love about WGN. It's always been a mirror reflection on what Chicagoans are seeing and doing. Am I gloating too much about our station?
I know it's fine.
But it's a station I grew up listening to, too, and it's a thrill to be here.
It is. It's just Chicago.
It is Chicago. Thank you. Okay, so we had the text in with a kind of a complicated question with a sort of complicated answer that we are going to dive through, okay?
Yeah, here we go.
All right. I'm trying to find the text now.
Well, I could. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So this person was on disability leave for shoulder replacement surgery, I assume. They were told by their doctors that they would be released to work on July 31st of this year. This person was let go a month before that. This person was told, well, you're out of your FMLA leave. Why was I released? Could something be wrong here, or could it be right?
Well, I hate to say that. Yeah, right, I hate to say it depends, but it depends. But let's talk about this. So, when somebody has a qualifying condition, serious health condition of themselves or someone in their family, you get 12 weeks under the Family Medical Leave Act of unpaid leave, job protection. Okay,
you can't be fired.
You can be, but it wouldn't be illegal if that's why you're fired.
Okay.
Okay. If that's why you're fired.
But generally speaking, 12 weeks.
Yep, 12 weeks, right? As long as you have support for that leave from a doctor, you can be gone for 12 weeks unpaid leave for that serious health condition of yourself or your family.
Got it.
Okay. The other component to this is short-term disability, which is an insurance policy. It provides usually 60% of your income, sometimes 100% of your income, while you're qualified for the injury because you can't work.
And that duration varies on how long you've worked at a place, the handbook, the place?
No, it is entirely a function of the policy itself.
Okay.
Most short-term disability policies provide benefits for 3 months or 6 months most, because after six, you tend to go on long-term disability where you really can't work. Okay. So now, if this person was gone for more than 12 weeks, in other words, they've exhausted their FMLA.
Which is what the employer seems to be saying.
In the middle of June, right? Mm-hmm. Exhausted in the middle of June. They have a doctor's note that says, I'm able to come back and work this job on July 31st. We have that gap of 6 weeks,
okay,
during which, apparently, this person was fired.
Okay,
they were fired. That time frame could provide protection under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
A third element.
It could, yes. Because even though FMLA is expired and short-term disability is not a job protection law, it is an income insurance policy,
mm-hmm.
we have to look to another job protection law, which is the ADA. Okay, what the ADA says is, even though FMLA has been expired, if you know you're coming back, if your doctor tells the company that you're coming back in 1 month or 2 months, something like that, you'll be cleared to return to work, an accommodation under the ADA would be time. You should be allowed the time, that time you need to, after the FMLA has expired, to come back on July 31st. So the question is, did the company fire this person illegally during that time frame because they did have job protection under the ADA? Now, maybe they were doing a bad job before FMLA even started. Maybe there was a riff. You know, they would have to say, they would have to show that there was a legitimate business reason for terminating this person. I, as the lawyer for the employee, would have to show that is not correct. In actuality, they were fired because they were taking ADA time as an accommodation leave.
Can I slow this down and put this again? That was well explained.
I tried.
Yeah.
I tried.
This is difficult. So,
okay.
Family Medical Leave Act.
Yes.
Gives you 12 weeks.
Unpaid leave. If
that's
you qualify.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's assume this person. All right. So that covers you for 12 weeks. You're not going to get fired.
It does.
Short-term disability is an insurance policy that your company has that will pay you 60% of your income.
Or whatever the policy says.
Whatever the policy says. So that could be a longer runway than the 12 weeks.
Yes.
It most likely is.
Yes. And they usually run concurrently. So at the same time.
Okay. So you think, some people might think, oh, well, I have a 6 month short-term disability policy. They're going to pay me 60%. I'm covered to not be fired. No.
Wrong. That's correct. That is
you have the 12
correct.
Weeks.
Yes.
Now, the gap in between can be covered by the American Disabilities Act because just like someone coming to work with a disability, the presumption is that the company must try to find an accommodation.
Right.
If you have a hearing problem, we had someone calling for a hearing problem,
yep,
right?
Yep.
They have to try and accommodate.
See, yes. It's an interactive process,
right,
back and forth.
And one of those accommodations is the accommodation of time.
Time. Yes.
So,
to bridge that distance.
Right. So, between FMLA expiring and the
date certain for returning to work.
Right. They should be able to try and find a reasonable accommodation. They don't have to pay you during that time. You might have short-term disability that's paying you, but the accommodation time. Okay, I think I understand that.
And at least has to be a discussion. You know what I bet? Here's what I bet, John. I bet they didn't even know about the ADA time as an accommodation issue. I bet they didn't. I bet they thought FMLA is expired. Okay, he has no job protection. I thought you said he, sorry. This employee has no job protection. All right, we can terminate them. That is not the case.
Okay. 708 is providing other details. I'll talk with you during the break.
Okay.
Either way, 708, this is a classic case of someone that should call you, right?
Yes.
312-332-7800. I'm sure you'll take the call and chat through it, right?
Yeah, I will, for sure.
312-332-7800. I'll provide you those extra details. And 708, I will text you the number directly. Because, boy, that was complicated.
I tried to make it.
You made
straightforward.
It great.
Thanks, John.
Like I always say on the radio,
okay,
if we had a whiteboard that we could share with people, that way we'd have like bar graphs, we'd have dates on it, we'd have the magic eraser if we made a mistake.
Sure.
Like it's way easier
in
a visual medium for some.
That's called TV.
That's called television.
Yes, right.
We'd have a graphic package made for you on my show and everything. But I hope that made sense. The 219 says, what a clear way you have of putting things.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
I assume they're not being sarcastic, which sometimes can happen. Yes, it can happen. Okay, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Get those questions in. Keep texting them, whatever you need. And just tell us about your favorite job ever here on this Labor Day Saturday on WGN. 720 WGN, the 219 followed up saying, I meant it. We did explain that well, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was referring to you.
I don't know.
Thanks. I'll take it. Thank you very much.
708 says, and this is the one that was calling about that, I can call you Tuesday or Wednesday.
Of course. I'll be there.
Yes.
Always.
312-332-7800.
That's on the whiteboard.
That's on the whiteboard. Yes. You better believe it.
Yeah.
All right. So layoffs haven't been popping up, but they are here and there.
Yep.
We read it in the news. There's a lot of churn, though, where people often are still finding work pretty quickly afterwards. That's good.
That's my experience as well.
Unemployment claims are low.
Yes.
That's good news. Continuing unemployment claims are low.
Mm-hmm.
The jobless rate is not really moving anywhere. So that seems to be my general interpretation that, yes, companies are laying off, especially in the financial sectors. We saw layoffs and we saw it in the tech world. But it seems to be most people are finding jobs again. So there's a lot of people that should be calling you, whether it's on the back end of getting laid off or on the front end of finding a new job, right?
Yeah, yes. And let me just point out something that we're seeing a lot lately, and it has to do with non-competes. And I think it's because people are getting laid off and they're looking for work in the same or similar industry.
Which makes sense. That's what you're trained to do.
Right. And because, yes. And because, you know, the labor market is tightening in some areas, they're having a harder time, so they're coming to us trying to get out of the non-compete, I think, more than usual.
They got laid off from a job, and part of that provision is, by the way, when you get laid off from here, there's a period you can't work in a similar industry,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. Those are held up by court still, as if you're over a certain amount of salary.
You make more than $75,000.
Right.
And, you know, the scope of the non-compete is reasonable in terms of time and what you can't do and where you can't do it.
Right. Okay, so they're legally binding. So then people are having a hard time finding a job, maybe, outside of that realm.
Yes.
Because they're in a tight industry. That is.
And you're right. That's what they do.
That doesn't seem fair, but that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. And there's a movement afoot nationally, as we've talked about, to, you know, get rid of non-competes. I don't know if it's actually ever going to happen. It might. Now we're still in the state-by-state analysis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain states don't enforce them at all under any circumstances, a handful of states. Certain ones do, like Illinois. So a non-compete can be enforceable in Illinois. We're seeing that a lot lately.
And this is the FTC that's looking into this, right?
Yeah,
the Federal Trade Commission?
Yeah, and they proposed to eliminate them. And so now we're in a comment period. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. Then,
well, they've lost every case they fought under the Biden administration, so the FTC.
It's a bad track record. People call and say, well, that's not enforceable. I'm like, there's no law yet that says a non-compete, unless you want to move to California or a couple other states. It could be.
Okay. Got a couple questions here for you. 847. Can a company read an employee's messages on Slack? So if a company is paying for Slack, for those that don't know, Slack is like an internal communication system. If you have Microsoft Teams, it's like that, but it's different. It's a private company that's hired. And so people are like, oh, is it like email? It's like instant communication.
Yeah. You have almost no right to privacy or confidentiality if you're using any instrument of the company to communicate with anybody else.
Teams, Slack.
Doesn't matter.
Emails.
Doesn't matter. If you're on a work email system, John, you don't have any.
Why are you looking at me? I'm good on my emails.
No, I know you're real. Well, you're okay. No, you're good. You're good. But you really don't. Don't expect. I tell people all the time, be super careful.
What about if you're on a computer on your Gmail account? That's your private account, but you're on a work computer.
That's a better question. But then you do, because it's your Gmail account. The issue is when deployment ends, and every job ends, what do you do about that Gmail? And you have to scrub it from a whole, you know, you have to take it off from your device. And
let it anywhere. Okay.
Yeah. But no. That's your private communication.
Even
if you're using a work instrument of the company.
Okay. And if you're using a personal laptop at home, because you're work from home, but you're on Slack, which was paid for by the company, that's internal communication.
Yeah, it is. And that's another one where when you have to hand it back, you know, it just, you have to get rid of it somehow.
And I got a question for you. That seems very Big Brother-y and people don't like it, but can it be used to their advantage? For instance, if they talk to you and you have the power, potentially, if you file a lawsuit, to depose and get those communications, right?
Yes, and one of the first things we do is send out a notice to tell the company to preserve all email communications, et cetera, et cetera. It's called a notice of preservation, a litigation hold, if we think we're going to file something. And they should. Sometimes they don't. And that becomes a big problem for the company. So, yes, what people do sometimes is communicate with us and they say, I've got all this proof in my emails about all the stuff that was they did wrong, the company did wrong. They say, okay, every keystroke you make, the company will look at if this ever goes anywhere, like a claim, et cetera. So be very careful. But if you keep it in a confidential way, some company lawyers are not going to like this. But if you keep it in a confidential way and it's to prove the illegal conduct against you, discrimination, harassment, retaliation, whatever it might be, you keep it confidential or send it to me, I think that's perfectly permissible. And you should do it because what
often. Why do you say you think? Has that been backed up by law?
Oh, yeah, there is a case law to do it.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. It's my position. But the company will say, absolutely not. It's our confidential information. Then there's back and forth. That's my argument.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me just understand what you're saying. Someone's talked to you and they said, my boss is harassing me.
Yes.
Something inappropriate is happening, yes. And it's happening over email, yes. In addition to other things.
Yes.
You say, forward me those emails.
I do. I say, first of all, you should forward them to a personal account or something like that, and then forward them to me, because I don't want to be in your work email system at all.
Okay.
Now, will the company know at some point that you sent them to yourself, and they assume that you're keeping them or sending them to me? Sure. My point is, it's evidence of illegal behavior. I have a right to that evidence because, John, believe it or not, sometimes those emails go away.
Oh, of course they do.
After I make a claim on behalf of my client.
Okay, so
that was sarcasm.
No. Now I have a couple other follow-ups to that thought. All right, something illegal is happening. I'm forwarding it over to my Gmail account. I'm preserving it. They may know I'm doing that. They may find out later, but I'm doing that. I'll be protected by you, who's going to argue in front of a judge that was illegal behavior.
Yes.
It's protected. What if it's trade secrets and I forward it to my Gmail? What if it's internal stuff that's happening that's dramatic but not illegal that I want to preserve for, I don't know, retribution, my own backup of what I want? Can you forward things to your personal email account that are happening on a work email exchange?
It depends, again, as you point out, what it is. Now, a lot of companies will have policies where you cannot do that with trade secret or proprietary information or confidential information. But what I would argue is it's evidence of illegal behavior. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about business, proprietary, trade secret, confidential information. Because an email from a boss to a subordinate that's harassing is not confidential.
You're making the point that I wanted to get is that this umbrella thought of taking your work emails and exchanges or information to your personal Gmail account is only protected if illegal activity is happening. You don't get to just do this willy-nilly if the company has said that you're not supposed to.
And by the way, that is a real problem down the road if you do that, because I have to sort of undo that process. You know what I mean? You know, if they've taken trade secret or confidential information, that becomes harder. If I have a really good, my client has a really good claim of harassment or something like that, but they've done that other stuff, it really clouds my ability to assert that claim.
You and I have talked about non-solicitation.
Yes.
Which is I can't take clients from my previous client if I'm in sales.
Yeah.
I can't bring a bunch of people from the office with me if there's a non-solicitation agreement to a new company. If you are taking client emails, forwarding them to your Gmail, that could be something a company uses against you, seeing like you're clearly breaking this non-solicitation agreement, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And probably there's confidential information there. And so, and you have to think about this down the road a little bit. Act like the companies are going to look at everything you did, literally every keystroke, everything you printed out, everything you dropped in a file, everything you downloaded to a thumb drive, everything you sent to yourself on a personal Gmail account. Just so you have to be super careful about that. And people ask me really specific questions. Can I do this with this piece of information? And I have to walk through each one because it's so important down the road that they not do something that's wrong at that point.
So here's my overall thought. They need to call you before they do any of this.
It's really helpful.
Yes.
A lot of people don't, John.
But
then I have to sort of deal with that situation too, which is actually probably more common, that say, this is my situation. This is what I did. It's normally a mixed bag of good and bad, right?
Right.
So it makes it challenging, but that's a fun part.
Because you're just as likely to find information from a company email as a company might present to you and say, oh, yeah, well, this is what this person did.
Yeah.
And sometimes you see that and say, we don't have a case anymore.
It's an issue to work through. Okay. I would just say that.
Yeah, you never give
up. I'm not giving up. Right. No.
312-332-7800 That's is the phone number for Patrick Dolan, Conti and Dolan. We heard from Karen Conti last week, and we're hearing from you this week. I hope we hear from you again, Patrick Dolan.
Thanks. Good to be here. Happy Labor Day, everybody.
And people should be calling for the reasons we've talked about and what else?
Anything to do with your job. Anything, you know, hiring, firing, why did I get fired? Was it illegal? Why am I being treated this way?
Right. I think a lot of people we dismiss it because we're like, I just don't like that boss. But then you start looking at it. Is it because of race? Is it because of sexual orientation?
Yeah,
is it because of other thing?
And people come to me with that exact issue. That's where it starts. But then 20 questions later, it becomes something altogether different that they did not contemplate.
Okay. Patrick Dolan, 312-332-7800. Monday is Labor Day. Do not call him that day. Tuesday or
you
Wednesday?
Need to.
Monday?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know. Preferably not, but I'll talk to anybody, John. I don't care. Sure.
Right, call him Monday. Call him Sunday.
Call John Monday,
he's going to a wedding tonight. Just give him a call tonight. Exactly.